Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Welcome to another edition of Monstrous Radio, where you can hear the hottest independent music in the world. And a couple remixes play. So, what we do around here is, we do interviews, play the hottest music, and we show got the hottest host.
Yeah.
So, let's go ahead and get into it. So go on, kick back, get you a drink, do what you do,
yeah,
and enjoy the show.
Let's go.
Hey. Where you at? Where you at? Where you at? Where you at?
Glenn.
Where you at?
Fam.
Where you at?
Your.
Where you at?
Yeah. Yeah, coming in live from Minneapolis.
Monstrous Radio.
All right. What's up, everybody? Thanks for tuning in, because you can be anywhere in the world, but you're right here with us, Monstrous Radio Live, Karma Cafe. It's the only cafe where there are no menus, but everyone will be served what you are deserved. This is our night of, you know, we talk about politics, community issues, things that really need to be addressed. I am DJ E Monster. I have Miss Unbelievable here with me. So let's go over and say what's up to her right quick. How you doing, Mama? Hello.
Hello. What's up? Yes.
You feeling good today?
Yes. Let's get it. Let's go. Get
okay,
these problems
okay.
solved the hood way. Absolutely.
So, all right, so check it out. So tonight, you know, as we know on the commentary, we talk about all kinds of things, you know, like I said before, community issues, politics, it doesn't matter. Well, tonight we'll be talking to a guy by the name of PJ Agnes. He is running for mayor. He's going to be candidate for mayor. So let's check in with him right quick, because we're going to be doing an interview with him coming up just in a little bit. So what's good, PJ?
Hey, brother, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. Things are going real good. The campaign is getting a lot of traction. And just the fact that we're staying really positive, upbeat, lighthearted, and funny, there seems to be a real market for that. People are just sick of the nasty name-calling in politics, and we don't do that.
Mm. Yeah, hey, it has got to the point where that is starting to be the norm, or at least at one point, at least me growing up, it's like I'm used to it. It's like that was the first phase of politics to me, you know? So, hey, we're going to check in with you, see what you got going on. We're going to ask you a couple questions. You know, we never had a mayor candidate around here, so this is something new for
you
us.
You ask
but,
me
hey,
anything.
Great. All right, and you know what, and I'm glad you said that, because a lot of people are probably going, well, he's not running for my city. It doesn't matter. These are some things, we're talking about some things that your candidate probably should be talking about, some things you should be asking your candidate, and things like those. Just because he's not running for the mayor of your city doesn't mean we still shouldn't talk about the things that the mayors should be doing in your community. So, all right, you guys, let's go ahead and take our breather, give people time to call in, do what we got to do, and then we're going to come back and get it in with PJ Agnes. You know, Karma Cafe is about getting that woo-saw on, helping you release that stress you done went through the whole week. We don't want you to get 30 days from putting your hands on nobody. We want you to say woo-saw. So check it out. This right here is Jennifer Lopez, DJ Khaled, and Cardi B. This is called Dinero. That calms down a lot of people. The Dinero. Jennifer Lopez, Monsters Radio Live, Karma Cafe, DJ E Monster, Miss Unbelievable, and DJ X.
J Lo.
Another one.
Me and my man, we stack it up to the ceiling.
More money.
Cállate la boca, let me finish.
More money.
Every day I'm alive, I make a killing.
Let's get it.
Yeah, I swear I'm gonna get it.
Yo quiero dinero.
Yo quiero dinero.
money, talk my mind, talking bilingual. I should be careful, cause I don't do singles. In love with the money, so no need to mingle. Just back it up, hot talk, yeah, back it up. Holla at that if you acting up. You ain't got that, you can't sit with us, yeah. Friends make you double take. Man and Andy on a double day. Grand hit me city on the way.
There you go, and your little background singing, a little backup dance. So, all right, y'all.
That's my song, the nettle, the nettle, the nettle. Yeah, that's my jam. You know it is. Like, I need that cash flow. I need that money. I need that nettle. I do, yes. That's what I'm talking about.
So, do you got the weather?
Eh? I got the weather. I got the weather. Okay, so. Let me tell y'all, we around the world, y'all. We around the world of popping, so stay with me. All right, in Minneapolis, it's raining and it's 69. So it's Jean weather, just saying. In London, where somebody I know is going pretty soon, I ain't going to say no names, I'll let him talk about it, 68. Patty, 72. Atlanta, our sister station ambassador, Jazzy B, 81, with thunderstorms. Man, it's been raining there so much. In New York, it's 75. In California, dang, they hot. It's 100. It's a hot. Ooh, no. Dallas is hotter. It's 108. And where I want to go for spring break, San Juan, is 82. And there you have the weather around Miss Unbelievable's world. There you go.
Right, okay. You know, only person I know can give the weather report and throw shade. I'm just saying, hey, it is what it is. You're the only one. No, to do the weather report and throw shade, okay? So, all right, we're going to take our other track, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to get it in with PJ Agnes. Man, this is our first mayor candidate to let us interview them here on the show. So hey, I got some things, man. I want to talk about police brutality. I want to talk about all kinds of things in the community. I want to talk about the school systems. I want to talk about a lot of things. So I hope PJ ready, because we're going to get it in, y'all, in just a little bit. Matter of fact, we're going to bring it back home. He not from Maple Grove, but he from the Twin Cities. Check him out. He did an interview with us. Matter of fact, both these guys did. Demon Cash, K. Allen. This is called A.O., Monsters Radio Live on Karma Cafe, and we finna get at this mayor dude right quick to see what he's talking about.
Y'all hit us up, 424-243-9649. Press 1 to get into this conversation coming up. Yeah, we live, y'all.
Midwest girl, show me more love. That girl got it, yeah, she got it like she back it up, then she drop it like she so bad that you want it like I wanna show her what it really like I just wanna talk, how far can I take it? Half the bar clothes on the table, butt naked, everything shaking. Tokyo to LA, she got them ass quakes, flip a cup and I'm like, okay. How the hell I find you? Body like a model. Coach be a sponsor cause you looking like they bottle. So hold that, swallow, click this, follow. I'm trying to be your future, hello to tomorrow. I know that she into me, I feel the energy. Her booty thick, her look the right, I want her next to me. How the hell you even getting your jeans? I want to be the one to get right between. Yeah, I'ma get it, I promise I'ma get it. Leaving out the club with a smile and a kiss. I love these women, you gotta love these women. We gon' get it, I'm enjoying every minute like. That girl got it, yeah, she got it like she back it up, then she drop it like she so bad that she want it like I wanna show her what it really like Hey yo, I'ma show you how it really go. I start a combo when she tell me what I wanna know. So easy, this game so easy. Good mind on the dime, fine wine, and she free. Hello, 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 can I get a demo? The digits and the name and the date in the memo. Booty so fat and it's going to the tempo. Up, down, yeah, she ready, girl, let's go. Oh yeah, now we riding out the bar. Champagne in the car while we eating caviar. She screaming my name, Dima Cash is who I are. She tell me I'm a star and my skills above par. She back it up and drop it, yeah, she back it up and drop it. Put the coochie in the coffin, beat it up and I ain't stopping. She back it up and drop it, yeah, she back it up and drop it. Put the coochie in the coffin, beat it up and I ain't stopping like.
Hey, that girl got it, yeah, she got it like. She back it up, then she drop it like. She so bad that she want it like. I wanna show her what it really like, really like.
Oh, man, look, hey, don't you hate it when you try to put out a post and you realize, like, at the last moment, you don't spell something wrong? Don't you just hate that? It's unbelievable. I need the woosah. Woosah.
You need the woosah. I mean, just go spell, just go edit. Just go edit. Just go edit. You know.
Yeah, it kind of messes up the post, but still, I'm going to have to go edit because I tried to put on here. You know, we got a mayor candidate from Maple Grove on the line.
Oh, yeah.
Let's ask him some questions.
I'm going to need you not to spell him. I'm going to need you not to spell him. Just saying. That's not him. I mean, that's him, the black him. But that's not the, you know, that's the Ebonic him, not the English him. Okay, that's Ebonic him. Okay, that's it.
All right. Okay, let's go ahead. Go over here and talk with PJ Agnes, a candidate who's running for mayor of Maple Grove. What's good, PJ Agnes? How you feeling tonight, bro?
Things couldn't be better. Our campaign is going real well. I think that people are appreciating that we're putting people over politics, and we're just coming at things from such a different angle, and we're keeping it 100% positive. We don't attack anybody. We don't badmouth anybody. And we don't fight with anybody.
Okay. Well, first, right off the bat, tell me, what do you mean by people over politics? What do you mean by that?
Okay, so we have this discussion about political issues in our country where people divide into left and right, and it's too often Republicans and Democrats. They get online and they They start calling each other names, and everybody just, like, plants their feet on a certain issue. And what really gets lost in the conversation a lot of times is the people. We really lose that we're all just trying to better people's lives. And politics, the ugly side of it is about control. And that is so often what happens, is people want power and people want to control people's lives. And what we need to be doing is electing people who just want to better people's lives. And most of the time, we just want to stay out of people's way and let them represent themselves. You know, not get in the way of people's businesses, not, you know, have some complicated law or code that that interferes with people's lives. And definitely look at things like in the city level ordinances, or at the local, the state, and even the federal level laws, and going, is this helping people or hurting people? And so often we have laws that, okay, we need to enforce these now. Well, what are we going to do to enforce these? We're going to use violence. Well, is this worth using violence over? Or should we really relook at this? Because what we're doing is we're hurting people, and we're separating people from their families. And, you know, we throw people behind bars, and then we have their kids at home. A lot of times, you know, now they have to spend years without a father. And are we really punishing people for something that's worth it? Now, obviously, we don't want anyone to go out and cause any violence. But if it's a victimless crime, do we need to relook at this law? Because we're hurting people.
Right.
So politics needs to be about serving people. It's not about, you know, we have this term in our country, civil servant. Well, we're not civil masters. If we're not serving people, then they need to get us out of there. They need to elect people to serve them. And really, in this country, we want to empower people to get involved in the system so they can serve themselves. I don't know what's best for you. You know what's best for you. I'd love to be able to go into government and represent you, but I don't know how to do that. There's a lot of issues that I don't know how to best represent you. I don't know how to best represent your community. But that's why in Maple Grove, I'm trying to get a ward system in place so people can represent their communities themselves, because it would be arrogant of me to say, I know what's best for you. I don't know what's best for people. I know what's best for me and my family, but I don't know what kind of issues you and your family face on a daily basis, you know?
Right. Right. Okay. Okay. So what actually made you decide to run for mayor?
Well, two things. I should say three things. One, like I said, there are people that feel disenfranchised and they're not represented in our community. We have an at-large system in Maple Grove, which means that if I live on, let's say, the north end of Maple Grove, which is kind of the older end of Maple Grove that doesn't receive a lot of attention, and we have people that are living in the luxury apartments, all those people can decide to run for city council. And then the only people that I can have represent me are people that live in these luxury apartments. If they're not part of my community, they are not representing me well. My community is being forgotten about. And so what I want to do his institute award system, which basically means, and I know a lot of your listeners know what that is, but the people that I'm voting for have to live in the community in which they're running, the wards, the precincts, the bigger neighborhood groupings. So it's empowering people to run to represent their own community and making it easier for that. Again, I don't know what's best for every part of the community, but I don't want any part of the community ignored. You know, we talk about democracy in our country, and it's a really bad term because we were never set up to be a democracy, and a democracy basically just means the majority rules. You know, what the majority's will is what happens. And what that means is we never listen to the minority of that. We're always forgetting someone.
Right.
That's not what we're striving for.
Okay. So what are some of the issues that you already know that need to be addressed that's on your agenda if you become mayor of Maple Grove?
So that ward system, that is the first thing. If I'm elected mayor or if I'm not elected mayor, I don't care. I will push for this ward system as much as I can. Second of all, government accountability. So we can get on the internet on our phones, right? It's better than any supercomputer we had, you know, really even 20 years ago. We can find out anything. But, I mean, we have all this wealth of knowledge at our fingertips. So why isn't what our civil servants are doing on the taxpayer dime on the internet? Why isn't the city council, they take minutes. Why aren't they putting them on social media? Why aren't they on their website? Why aren't they easily searchable? We need to know what these people are doing.
Right.
Because so often that power corrupts people. And it's really openness that is going to bring us better representation and really change the system.
Hmm.
Oh, but also I want to mention, I wanted to, I sat at home for a long time, and especially the last election, the last national election. We watched it and watched Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump and their supporters call each other bad names, nasty names, and one group of people started calling themselves deplorables. That was a tongue-in-cheek term, and then the other side started saying, oh, we're nasty women. And I just was sitting at home going, why aren't we elevating ourselves? Why are we all going to the lowest common denominator? And we, you know, then you go on the internet and people are like, oh, you're a conservatard. You're a libtard. I'm like, if my daughter used that kind of language, she would be in some big trouble. And I see adults calling each other this stuff on the internet. And we have this big push in our country. We got to stop bullying, you know, in our schools. Well, we got to stop being bullies before we can stop bullying in our schools, because we're not, we're telling our kids what to do, but we're setting a terrible example. And so I am trying to, I wanted to see someone run a campaign where it was funny and nice and warm and loving, that just was going to be 100% positive, would not go negative, no matter what. Even if someone slung mud at this candidate, this candidate won't fling mud back at them. Point where you go, okay, if I want someone to do this, if I want to see someone do it, why don't I just go out and do it? And so often in our country, we say they should do this. You know, these people should do this. Well, some of us got to get involved at some point and go, okay, they shouldn't do this. I should do this. I have to be the change I want to see.
Right, because hey, that's what I think it's going to have to be. Because I keep it 100 with you, PJ. That's the norm to me when I grew up. I mean, that's what I knew. When you ran against somebody, you threw everything that you could throw out there. I knew what it was all about. You know, it was about trying to set the negativity, you know what I mean, in somebody's brain to make them double think, okay, well, I'm not going to pick that person because they said this or they did that or something that I don't approve of, so on and so forth. So, yeah, that's going to be a different approach.
Well, and, you know, it's sad that that's anybody's norm, but we also have this thing where, this groupthink that people dig their heels into issues. You know, let's say you and I have really, really different viewpoints on an issue, and we get on the internet and we start screaming at each other. Who changes? Nobody changes. Nobody wins that argument. But let's say you and I sit down as friends and we really discuss the issue and we really try to see where the other one's coming from. Then some change can happen. We can either meet in the middle or somebody can convince somebody to go to the other side. But we're not going to do it by yelling at each other.
Right, right. True that. True that. So, all right, let's see if Miss Unbelievable, see if she might have a question for you. You got a question there, Miss Unbelievable?
You're talking about the wards, and, you know, ward system was used before. How do you think the ward system can grab the kids and grab those who are opposed to the ward system and the reason why it, you know, kind of like was put to the side? How do you plan on grabbing our attention to get it back?
I just have to hammer home this message of better representation and that you could represent yourself and that you're going to be voting for your neighbor. Your neighbor is going to represent you, or you can represent your neighborhood. And I got to be honest, I've talked to quite a few people from Maple Grove and outside of Maple Grove, and I have had zero opposition to the ward system. People are going, that makes sense. People a lot of times don't know what it is, so they have to, you know, hear about it before they can really gravitate towards it. But I really have not had a lot of opposition at all. And I have been talking to other people that are involved in a ward system. Now, the city of Crystal, Minnesota has a ward system. It's not very far from Maple Grove. I was in Crystal so much during my childhood, and I've been talking to some city council members. They have a ward system, and they really love it. They think that it doesn't leave anybody out of the system. I won't mention those city council members because I did not ask them their permission to name them, but they've been helping me quite a bit. There are a lot of people that have just jumped on board, and a lot of people in the political realm have really come behind me and helped me out. And yeah, I have a really good network of people now helping me out, and I'm talking to the people that know what they're talking about and have seen this work. It's just a system where it's it's more local representation, and we're not leaving anybody out. And that's my concern, is the people that get left out of the process. I don't care who you are or even, like, how odd your ideas are. You're worth having a conversation with. You're worth engaging. And that's how our political system's supposed to work.
So would you select your city councilman to lead the charge on grabbing the group to have a voice?
I guess I'm not totally understanding the question, so can you try to help me understand it better?
When selecting the ward system, you know, you're saying everybody speak to themselves, they're still has to be someone who's going to take the charge to help us, you know, be able to, you know, get our voices heard and to speak and to say, because if we let just anybody speak, then who's going to really be heard? So would you suggest that the city councilman be that voice, or how would you suggest everybody's voices be heard, whether it be through, like, how would you suggest that? Because if someone didn't know the system, then they wouldn't know how to go about getting their voice heard. You understand my question now?
I totally understand your question now. So the research that I've been doing into that is when people switch to the ward system, there is quite a bit of confusion. The current city council is not going to lead the charge for sure, because then they're going to lose their positions and they're going to lose their seats, because the whole system needs to be restructured and they have to rerun in their wards. So the current city council is not going to lead that charge. The city council that is elected in the new ward system, they would hold meetings with your smaller community, and they would be in charge of listening to your smaller community. But, you know, the current crop of politicians, just like every other politician, does not want to lose their position. And so I expect a lot of pushback on them for this. And we are going to have to go to people like city planners, city attorneys, those kinds of people, and see if we can get it through that way. What I'd like to see it is just put on the ballot, and if the people of Maple Grove don't show up and vote for it, then it's not an idea that's worth much to them. But at least we tried. If they don't want that, I'm certainly not trying to force that on them, but everyone I've talked to has wanted it so far.
Right. I mean, I'm not even really that. This was my first night hearing about that ward system type thing, and I'm all for it. Like you said, I think then no parts of the community get unheard or untouched about what's going on and what's active. Sorry, Ms. Unbelievable. I just had to throw that in there, because there are people that may not know how the system works that is listening now, and I'm glad you two are really going through it to explain it.
Absolutely. But my only pushback with that is, how will we handle the, you know, speaking of the violence that is going on now, my thing is the pushback with the violence. How can we make sure that this system, or the system, even if the system doesn't be in place, or, you know, we have those people who are pushing for that all things be heard, you know, with the violence of the police department and the violence that's going on in the schools. Like, how is that going to be able to push all the issues that affect Maple Grove and other surrounding cities? You know what I mean?
So let's say that I'm your council member from your ward. Instead of they do a lot, and they have to. It's unfortunately, it's a lot of times the last step in the process, and so the decisions have already been made, and they're not really listening to you. But they do hold meetings where the public can show up and voice their opinion. Right now, the entire city can show up, and one council representative would listen to their concerns. So what this system is that, a smaller section of the community would show up, and you would talk to your council person. So you would have a much better chance to bring your concerns, and your concerns be heard, and your concerns matter. And like I said, you know, we want these people to be our neighbors. So I'm out walking the dog and I see you, and you know, we can just walk and talk about our concerns, and hopefully I care about my neighbor enough where I'm going to listen and really address those concerns. So this is not a system I'm saying is going to fix everybody's concerns or be perfect. I'm just saying we're working towards something better. And you brought up a lot of issues that are really, really complicated. And I mean, we're not going to fix it just by switching to a ward system. That's not realistic. But again, I think when you have those concerns, the best person to represent you is yourself.
Hey, I like that. How you said they got to live in the neighborhood. It makes them more accountable. Let's keep them 100. To me, when I think of politicians, I don't really think they're accountable. Why? Because
they're not accountable.
You think if I see you in the neighborhood, I can ask you, hey, bro, I voted for you because I believed in whatever 3266636374.5. Whatever it was, and you totally went against it, and I voted for you because you said you supported us on that, and you didn't do what you were supposed to do. So that's why I'm here at your barbecue today to confront you about the issues you said that you was going to support.
However, what I think happens, though, E, what happens is they do listen to what you have, but their system really doesn't get put in place to like the second or half of the year. And then by then, you know, they've trying to clean up everybody else's mess that they even haven't even got onto what they even said that they were going to do. So it's interesting to see what they say they're going to do. And then the actual implementation of it falls by the wayside, or they only do half of it. Or they do pieces of it to just satisfy to get voted again. It's very interesting when they run for almost like the system that he's running for, how much he's really going to be able to do. So it'll be interesting to see, because we always get the promise, but we don't get the plan of action. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, whose stuff gets implemented.
And we've all been disappointed. I think every election and every presidential cycle in my adult life, which is I was 18 in 2001, so I came in right when Bush was in, and then Obama, and then Trump, and everybody thought the person they were going to vote for was going to change the system and fix all their problems. And we've all been disappointed. I'm right there with you. This is a real tall order for me, because I am not a politician. I'm just a guy. In fact, I can't go about politics in the normal way where I put yard signs everywhere and whatever, because I know I can't outspend the mayor, and I'm not taking any money. Now, I have some people that are donating some stuff. I have a buddy who owns a company called Vista Vapors, and he does a lot of marketing stuff where he's making materials. I'm getting thousands of marketing materials for free from him. The owner of Pizza Man Pizza has some PR people that I'm getting some advice from, but I'm not taking a dime from anybody. So I get what you're saying, and I'm right there with you. Like, that's a concern of mine, and maybe I get into the system and find out this is much harder to change anything than I thought. And it seems like a really difficult system to change anything. And the more I learn about how politics works, the more disgusted I am with it. So I have no disagreement with you on that.
Absolutely. And that's usually what happens when people really dig into the politics of the government and, you know, and how it's so twisted. But I would encourage you, you know, as you are, you know, running your election, you're running for your office, to make sure that you do your door knocking and get your materials out there and get your stuff, you know, talked about. You don't have to take a dime, but there's always ways where you can have an open house and they can donate. That will help you definitely get your voice heard. Because if you want to make a difference, you have to get your voice heard. And so those are things that I can definitely tell you that you would need to do. Door knocking, get your voice out there, get your signs out there. And you could do open house and they could just donate and you could just tell them your form. You know, let them know, have some people that you know and say, can I come to your house? Have your neighbors come and you could have an open house and you could talk to them about what you're running for and why you think that this system is going to work for Maple Grove.
And you know, you're absolutely right. The path to victory for me is talking to people face to face. I need to do that, and I'm getting a good response from people when I'm doing that. But, you know, we need to get that message out there. We're using a lot of unconventional things. We do a lot of memes. We do a lot of viral video type stuff. We use a lot of humor to try to convey some serious political points. And we're going to do some viral marketing type of stuff where I'm going to get out in the community and I have to go about this in really, really unconventional ways because the mayor that I'm going up against has been the mayor since 2001. This is a very, very tall order for me.
Ooh, 2001.
Good luck. And conventional stuff always reaches the younger audience because if you reach them where they are and if you reach them where they can understand, you can grab them because that's who the future is. So, good.
No, absolutely.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, seeing that we talked about the marketing and that type of stuff, let's jump into two things. I'm going to bring the heat. Which is unbelievable. Already brought the two subjects up, but you know, I want to know what are you going to do to adjust these things for Maple Grove? Two things that hit basically both sides of the spectrum, the adults and the kids. What's your plans on dealing with police brutality within Maple Grove, and also the school systems? What type of plans do you have to protect the schools now that there seems to be a flux in tragedies happening in schools across America?
Well, the school system issue, and I don't want to identify the school, but I've worked in elementary schools since I was 18. That's what I do for a living. So it's a big issue to me. Unfortunately, that is not a mayoral issue at all. Now, I can meet with the school board. I can suggest some things. I would really like to see some better security measures not put in place, and not just the feel good stuff that I've seen. I saw after Sandy Hook, they have a security system that completely failed, and I saw some schools start installing that same security system, and it was just making people feel better. It wasn't making anybody safer. It failed. There was no good reason to spend that money to do that. When we really need to look at more, look at better solutions, things that haven't been tried. And, you know, I definitely think that some outside consulting needs to go on that. The problem is no one wants to address this issue, because everybody's so dug into their political side that they're not talking about it. And the Republicans are using it for fundraising, you know, and the Democrats are using it for fundraising. The Democrats are, you know, talking about gun control and, you know, give us this amount of money and we can get it pushed. We can get it put in place. And the Republicans are saying, oh, they're trying to take your Second Amendment rights, you know, donate to this, this, and this. And that's where those kids are getting forgotten about. And now the kids are just a political pawn. I mean, we're not even talking about them. Now, one thing, because I've been on the show talking about my self-defense organization, and I teach self-defense on a nonprofit basis, and I do know the statistics on this, and the statistics are that even though we hear about school shootings, and it is a real, real issue, obviously, if we have one, it's one too many. But gun crime is at the lowest point it has been in any of our lifetimes. So we are seeing a positive trend. We're hearing about it on the news a lot more. But again, if one happens, it's one too many. And I really think it needs to be addressed with education, because trying to do it through prohibition on guns isn't working. Trying to do it on, you know, let's defend the Second Amendment. The things that the Republicans and Democrats are pushing for, none of it is working. The police brutality issue, it's a real complicated issue. And in Maple Grove, I do think that we do have some really good officers. Here's my concerns on it. Is, let's say an officer points a gun at me, right? I'm supposed to stay calm. I'm expected to stay calm. Why am I, as a citizen, expected to stay calm, but then he's not expected to stay calm? All I want to see from them is, and I mean, the cases that we see that are, you know, that people are getting upset over, I think we got to take that as a case-by-case basis, because sometimes it's you should be legitimately upset and sometimes you shouldn't be. But we all just want the police to – we want them to be safe, for sure. But we want them to be accountable to. And I just want them to have the same rights as I do if I act in self-defense, but not extra rights and extra protection. I don't think we should be treating them with the benefit of a doubt just because they're police officers. They should be held to a higher standard. And I'm not saying that because I'm anti-cop, because I'm not. I'm not anti-anybody. I want them to be safe. And another thing that I think is a really, really big thing, and I believe I saw Evander Holyfield talking about this, is when he was growing up, you know, there were things like police athletic leagues that were teaching the kids boxing and being involved with the community. And, I mean, these should really be people that are, again, seen as public servants and are public servants. You know, right now I think we have this big divide where the police don't feel safe because they feel that the public's against them. And the public doesn't feel safe because they think the police are against them. We need to tear down that divide. These two groups, these two sides, they're in the same neighborhood. They should be working together. So really, I think pushing community involvement and pushing just engaging with the youth and just changing people's perceptions. But on the other side, we need to hold people accountable. We need to hold individuals accountable. We need to hold police officers accountable. Everybody needs to be held accountable. And I think we just...
Right.
We all need to not dig our political heels in and look for some real solutions. And I'm not claiming that I have all of the solutions, you know. I've said time and time again that I think you can represent yourself better than I could. So I don't have all the solutions for you. You don't have all the solutions for me. I have friends who are police officers, but I don't have all the solutions for them. And I have friends who are politically on the other side, and I don't have all the solutions for them. I do know that if we just drop our guards and engage with each other, everybody could get served better.
Right. Well, you know, and again, like you said, you know, nobody's really here to, like, bash the police or anything. But here's one thing I would say to a person who is running for some type of position within my community, so on and so forth. Something I would ask to induct is try to get something where the police have kill rules. The police go through training. There's usually four or five of them that show up on the scene. I understand sometimes people get very, very agitated. They come at the police crazy, but there should be a no kill rule. You go to the range for a reason. I'm not saying you may not never have to do it, but you should not be taking headshots. It should be thigh shots, shoulder shots, things to disarm people, not kill them. And I think that's one of the main things where people say, you know, like how you said, you know, sometimes it is warranted for the police to use their guns. Some people out there are nuts. That is what it is. It is what it is. For whatever reasons, they're very aggressive, and they should be locked up and taken out of the rest of the community and, you know, the public. But I still believe in the no-kill rule, no matter what. You should be trying to take this person down. There's enough of you guys to shoot them from different angles. Do what you got to do. Shoot his little booty off. It don't matter. But there should be a no-kill rule. And like you said, I think people should be accountable for, you know, the actions that they take, especially when you're a peace-serving officer. I have nothing totally against the police. I know police, like you said. I know some good police. I've ran into bad police. I've ran into plenty of good police.
But that's my whole thing on the police department itself. I just believe there should be a no-kill rule. That's all. So if you believe in what I believe, if you're out there and you're talking to candidates like that, then I should just be asking them for things like that, things that really affect you, your community, things like that. And that's what I choose to ask usually when I ask people about political things about the no-kill rule. I mean, how do you feel about that if you was mayor about trying to implement something like that, a no-kill rule?
So I hear what you're saying, and I've discussed this with people. I am far from a gun expert. What I have brought up to, and I have friends, I mean, you know, just being around the martial arts community, you have a lot of ex-military, you have police officers, you have people who really, really know their stuff. And what I have heard from people, because I really felt that way for a long time, and what people are saying is it's not always realistic or the best route to go to, say, shoot a person in the thigh, shoot a person in the shoulder. What I would say is I don't want to institute a rule like that. What I would like to push for is this should be the last resort. And I think that it's, we're seeing guns drawn too often. And there, I definitely believe there's training like Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu training, and things like that, that could be worked on more. From what I have heard from some departments, and I certainly don't want to try to speak for all of them. And there are police officers that are very, very skilled in, things like hand-to-hand combat and restraining people. But it sounds like some of them are not training it to proficiency. This may be a training issue. Now, like I said, this is a place that I don't claim to have all the answers. But, you know, I would get together with the police. I would seek solutions on this because, whether they get indicted or not, it's going to come out in the media, and it's going to be a life ruiner a lot of times for them. So I would assume the vast majority of police officers don't ever want to be in that situation. So I would work together with them and with the community to make sure this doesn't happen.
Right, right. Okay. Well,
less frequently happens, I guess.
Right, right.
We want to gradually move towards better.
So, all right. So we are. We got 30 seconds left in the show. Hey, I definitely want to give you the opportunity to let the people know where can they find you at if they are in the Maple Grove area to talk to you about things that may concern them, or you know what I mean, how to get active, involved in your campaign. How can they get a hold of you, bro?
The best way is you can search, go to facebook.com/PJ4MG as in Maple Grove. You could also go.
Oh! Sorry, go ahead. The show's trying to end itself.
PJ4MapleGrove @gmail. That's my Gmail address. And on Facebook, I have my personal phone number. I mean, you can search me. It is not hard to get a hold of me at all. and anyone who wants to have a personal discussion about these issues, I will take the time to do that.
Hi, we can hear your little one wants your attention.
Yeah, I do need to go be daddy now, too. I think that's way more important than ever being mayor, so.
Right. Okay. Any other little quick last words before you got to go?
No, I really appreciate it. I think we had a really good discussion tonight. And, it was really cool. I enjoyed it.
What's up? Glad to have you. Right, and remember, people, if you miss anything about his information, you can always listen to the archives 24/7, 365. All you got to do is search on our blogtalkradio.com/monsterusradio. Just put in the Comic Cafe PJ Agnes, and you can find this episode. Or just go to monsterusradio.com, and you'll find everything over there as well. So, you got any last words before we get up out of here, Miss Unbelievable? Probably got yourself on mute.
Just remember that change changes things. If you want change, then you have to go for it. Believe in what you believe in. Go for what you believe in. And just do it. Just give it a try.
There you go. So, all right, like PJ Agnes said, you can change things in your ward, your district. That's what we call it tonight, your ward, because I didn't know what they were talking about in the beginning. I just stumbled my way to it. You dig? But I love the idea. So, all right, y'all, tomorrow it's Friday Night Live. Tune in. We get you ready for the weekend. What we got tomorrow? We got fashion tips, weather reports.
We got fashion tips, weather reports. We may do Would You Rather, to get y'all minds thinking, would you rather do this or do that? So there you go, y'all.
Definitely something different. So, all right, tune in tomorrow, Friday Night Live, right here on Monsters Radio Live, DJ E Monster, Miss Unbelievable. Y'all have a good night. And remember, if you go out tonight, don't drink and drive. Not because I'm trying to be in your business. I need you for the ratings tomorrow. Get in. Oops. I'm out of here.
We love you for listening. Bye.
Be so, baby.